Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Kachachami, Dutiyampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Kachachami, Dutiyampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Satyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have translated the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension anticipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, and in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry to correct and honor. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I do vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Yudhiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over creating suffering. We are not here to create and cling to weeks. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
Two things have just changed my life and my practice in the last few weeks, both of which we've talked about here recently. The one is seeing the difference between, or kind of distinguishing that there is a difference between egocentric karma conditioning and self-hate. And that's just huge.
It's huge. Yeah. So really seeing that there is a difference, there's a distinction between egocentric karma conditioning and self-hate.
Yeah. And the other is what Jerry talked about the other night, the line in the email class about don't be in a hurry to get over it. Be eager to get on with it. And it's as if, well, it just changes everything.
Just having a direct experience of those two teachings changes everything.
It just is really taking, it's a process, taking things out of self-hate hands.
Wow. That is huge. It's a process of taking things out of self-hate hands. So, because so often that's what we talk about, how I do anything is how I do everything. So I come to practice and that very same process that's caused me to suffer is going to infiltrate practice, which is just how it goes. It's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's just how it goes. In fact, we could say, well, thank goodness, because that's the only way I actually get to see it. And so what happens for most of us is on some level, self-hatred gets a little practice. And so then over time, what you're talking about is those teachings just seep in more and more and more. It's that image, I love that image we use sometimes of, you know, walking in a thick coat in a heavy mist. And at first, I mean, there's nothing of that. You don't even know that mist exists because you've got this big heavy coat on. But you keep at it. You keep walking in that heavy mist. Pretty soon you're going to be saturated through. And I project that's what you're talking about. teaching like that suddenly come to a different level. We have the experience of it, and something as profound as self-hate is no longer in charge of our lives begins to actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it just takes its ammunition away.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was ammunition.
That's the thing. That's the thing that's so amazing about it. That, at least for me, my experience of what you're pointing at is, on some level, intuitively, we must have known that all along. Because there's something that drew us here, and there's something that's keeping us here. Right? So the truth of that, on some level, we're getting always. But there's so much that's invisible to us. So self-hate has all this ammunition, but we're not even seeing that. We're not saying, well, self-hate has all this ammunition. And, I mean, we do, you know, here and there. But not at the level you're talking about. So much of it is invisible. But then over time, we just suddenly, for whatever reason, things line up, and we see the ammunition that it's been using. And just with that awareness, just seeing that opens the door to what else is possible.
Yeah. So it's real. What a story. I don't know, I can't think of the word, but just, you know, just keep being here.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Keep, just don't stop.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, just keep being here. Just keep being here. Yeah. I think another piece for me related to that that we were talking about on Thursday night also was that place where often in a place like that, that can be a tempting place to come in and start to do something. Because that's such a big insight. Wow, and now I'm going to do something with that insight, or deepen that insight, but that's so profound. What you're saying is, the only teaching there is just to keep doing what we've been doing, which is to just show up, because that's what created that. No I coming in to do anything, no just being here. So we just keep doing that, just keep showing up.
It always comes back to that, doesn't it? It's so basic, and okay.
Yeah.
And then it creeps in, and
which speaks to why the showing up is so important.
Yeah.
We just keep being here.
Yeah.
Because here is where we keep getting that information.
Right, right. So I've been working with this process that I would describe as, I can't, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
First it was I have to, but then I realized, no, I think it's I can't.
You have to.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I'm in that process and it feels like being backed into a corner,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
What it ends up after lots of frustration is you have to just quit.
Right.
Because this is non, you can't.
And you have to.
And you have to. It's not resolvable.
So you know. Of course, quit.
Yeah, of course,
what
quit.
A perfect solution.
And then what I heard was, I can't quit. I know this isn't about the thing. I know this is about conditioning. So this I can't, and you have to,
yeah.
Is conditioning.
Yeah.
And I have to take that as a koan, because when I'm in it, it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to do this thing.
Yeah.
I tried all these different things,
yeah.
And no, it just doesn't. So I'm just getting at that. I've been sitting in this corner for a long time, and but I know I can't quit, because I know what the truth of it is. It's not that I can't,
yeah.
It's the ego can't.
That's right.
And that if I quit, then I let ego take my life, basically.
Because we can guess that's the entire point of that conversation.
Absolutely.
You have to. Well, I can't. I can't. Well, you have to. And the whole point of that is to back you into that corner that is labeled quit, which seems perfectly logical. Why would a person want to stay in a miserable situation like that that's unsolvable?
Right.
Just quit. And then that third piece comes in that's so powerful of, wait a minute, I can't quit. I'm not going to quit. I know there must be something else. And that's where that process of koan begins.
Yeah.
Which what's interesting about that, as I predict from what you're talking about, is that the minute we're in that place, we're actually out of the corner. Whether or not we can, you know, whatever the content of the day might be, whether or not we can see that thing is irrelevant because we're out of that process of I have to and I can't.
Right, and being really identified with that stuck position.
Stuck, exactly.
That there's no way out of this because I have to. Mm-hmm. I have to do this.
Yeah.
But you can't do that.
Yeah.
No, I can't. But you have to. Yeah. And
right, and that's where you turn to it and say, well, how about you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was, you know, I was doing some two-handed stuff around it, and I talked about it one night, and Ashwini was the guy, and she said, she can't.
Right.
There's somebody who can.
Right.
So, right, because if it's ego, then there, then. So that's where I am now in the koan.
Is the she can, but there's someone. Who
there's
can.
Somebody who can.
Mm-hmm.
And the I have to is really a bad thing because I have to is equated with a certain result.
Right. Right.
Instead of a process.
Yeah.
So I'm getting clearer after longer than I care to admit, but some people know how long. But it doesn't matter how long it takes.
That's right. Cause it's
this is forever. This
yeah,
is forever, right. ever stuck.
That's right.
I think I can see it everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and a couple of things drop in as you're saying that, that, you know, it seems that so that, you know, there's someone who can, right? But I can't. But you have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that place of, you know, where's the language? Language kind of great. There's someone who can. Well, maybe there's someone who can, or maybe life can, or however,
exactly.
we, have, however we want to phrase that.
Right.
Or it doesn't need to happen.
Right. The thing that's really being talked about doesn't need to happen.
Right.
The whole thing has been misinterpreted into a certain getting warm.
Right, that's the jacket comes off. Wow.
That's
a whole other stuff.
Because,
you know, it reminds me, Cameron, of the to-do list. You know, often talk about, hear people talk about their to-do list, right?
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the day, here's my to-do list, and these are the things that have to get done today. Well, guess what gets done? The things that have to get done.
Right. Or the things that can get done.
Well, but the things that had to get done that day.
Uh-huh.
And then these other 15 things apparently didn't need to happen today. Because they didn't.
Right.
And here I am.
Right.
So it's that same place.
Yeah.
Of, you know, this conversation around, but you have to do it. Do I? Where's the evidence?
Apparently not.
Exactly. And if truly this had to happen, it would.
Yeah. Yeah. So it. Yeah. It
whether or not I would do it or how that would happen, I don't know. But
right. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of taking a view of it as a koan and knowing that I'm not going to get to the resolution of this koan or the understanding of it or experience of the freedom beyond it. I lost my train of thought, but anyway.
Well, then you can just be in the koan.
Exactly.
Instead of in the down in the solving it, in the duality of it, you can step back into the koan,
right,
which is outside the duality.
Right, and to know, I guess what I was trying to say is to know that the resolution of it is not in the thinking about it or figuring it out or getting a certain resolution.
Yeah.
It's in being here.
Yes, exactly. Just like
the everything is.
Exactly.
That's the answer to everything. Be here, now.
You know, and it's such a radical place, at least for me, with a place like that, to just say, well, I have no idea, but all right, like, if that needs to happen in some way, I'm completely available. In the meantime, I'm just going to be here. You know, it's that image of the Zen pool.
Yeah. Well, this thing gets me to the place, this place gets me to the place where I can't do anything. And I can see very clearly that I can do something but not be focused on the result that it tells me I have to
make. Right. I can stand up and go for a walk.
Yes.
I can make a cup of tea.
Yes.
I can
talk to people.
Enjoy people.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
and that might, all those things, not being focused on the thing that
exactly.
I can't
exactly.
do,
yeah.
and focus on enjoying things that I do and can do, or not even that I do, that life allows me to enjoy, whatever, however we would word that, without an I there. So, you know.
It's fun.
Yes, it is fun, and it's... It's humbling.
Yeah.
It's very humbling.
Well, and I think the reason I say fun that comes up is that in that humbling, what happens is that teasing out that I project June was talking about, where we realize it's freeing because it's humbling in the sense of we see ego for what it is and what it's doing to us and the illusion that it has us in.
Right.
And there's, to me, there's a humbling in that, wow, that's, I've been believing that.
Yeah.
But in that very process, there's a, we're not mushed together with that.
Right.
We get to actually see it a little bit.
Right. Yes. And it feels like there's an opening to being respectful of life and of the human being that's struggling with this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. The last piece of it that drops in, I can't remember exactly how she said it, but it was life changing for me. At the very end of the video workshop, so you might watch it, watch the recording, it was right towards the end. Sherry said something like, because of course we can't be stuck when we're here.
Can't be stuck when we're here,
And what I realized was, a stuck is an illusion.
Right.
Because truly, if you're completely just here,
right,
there's no such thing as stuck.
Absolutely, that's the experience, isn't it?
It
doesn't happen there.
It doesn't happen there.
Right.
So if I'm stuck, I know
where I am.
And we're back to what you started with. Oh, I know what the answer is.
Yeah. The answer is the same answer. Thank you.
Renee?
I just had a teaching in the email class, too, that really struck me that I thought I'd share. And that is, so the first, after the first response back of something to practice, and then by the time I got to the second response back, I was stopping what was suggested in the first
one. Done.
Done with that, and then kind of moving on.
Yeah.
But their guidance was to do it constantly.
Constantly until I don't feel like it anymore. Or I forget about it, or I move on. Or,
Well, and I think it's more of this arrogance of knowing, I got that, okay, move on.
Uh-huh.
Kind of almost, and almost like an attention deficit sort of thing.
What's next? Showing up there. What's my new guidance?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And so I was, so then I started doing it again, and oh my gosh, the resistance was just huge. And but I just kept doing it. I'm still doing it, but it's really hard to keep doing it.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, yeah.
And the other response was because conditioning is so relentless, that we have to be just as relentless. These are my words.
Yeah.
Same message, I think. As it is, and to be as repetitive and consistent and as it is.
I've sometimes heard Sherry use the image of dog with a bone.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it.
Right.
You cannot take it from me.
Right.
And the thing that's so pernicious about it, it's even one step further than the dog with a bone, is that we're so conditioned to side with ego. So if you've got the guidance and you're chewing on and working with that guidance, and then ego starts its campaign on all different levels, but in this case, it's I'm done with that. We're so conditioned to think that's me that we forget, no, this is my bone and I'm keeping it. And to realize that's trying to take it away from me. Mm-hmm. But I side with that. So then it feels really hard to keep the bone, because I don't even want the stupid bone. I want the new shiny bone, right?
Right. Yeah, and see, as you going deeper with it, you start to see the ways conditioning trying to get you distracted, or tell you, you've already got that, or like, what was the inside again?
Yeah.
Like, what was I working on again?
Yeah, and why?
I'm pretty sure I'm over that now.
I'm working with this one. Yeah. You know, now we're to the story about the student with the fish. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Is it when you're falling out? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was at the New Year's retreat, right? Or somebody just talked about it.
Yeah. You know, the one about where the teacher gives the student the fish, to look at the fish, and I'm doing it for the morning. And, you know, so after 5 or 10 minutes, I mean, it's a fish, right? You know, it's got gills and a mouth and eyes and stuff, and it's slimy, right? So the student comes out and reports on the fish, and the teacher says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, back in the room, checking the fish out, you know, in there for 45 minutes. I mean, how much? So 45 minutes on one fish, that's a long time, reports back. You know, this goes back and forth, back and forth, until pretty soon they realize the student has been in there with the fish forever, and they have to go get the student. And I think that's the same process that, you know, so here's this piece of guidance that I get, and I start working with it, and I get what I need from it. Okay, on to the next thing. And then to realize, wait, that's a process in itself. How did that happen? So then I go back to it, and there's all this resistance. And as I stick with it, I see more layers and more layers and more layers, and what I realize is it has nothing to do with the fish or with the particular guidance. It's that process of being able to stay there, to stay still, and see, and see, and see, and learn at a deeper and deeper and deeper level how to look.
That's really helpful. Because literally today I'm like going back to the beginning, going, what was I actually talking about? Like when I first sent in the first, which was a process I do that I'm going to keep doing if I don't go deeper. You know, and so so I go back, I look at it, and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to listen to this again. Listen to this guidance again, listen to this again, listen to this again, and then I forget again, you know, I go back, okay, what was it about again, like, and it's just like that over and over, and ego does get bored with it, and does try to bring in everything that, you know, okay, I know what this fish is about now, what next?
And, you know, what I realize now is that this one is actually, this is more fundamental than that one anyway. I think I was in error when I first was looking. I think what it really is,
Right, and
I'm not familiar with that process at all.
And then it's like, oh no, that's not the karma I have. I have this karma.
Exactly.
I need to work on this one now.
Because this is really it. Oh my goodness, I really, really.
That was not big enough.
Wasted an entire email class on something that isn't. And then to have that sense of humor of like, wow, this is it. This whole thing. This is all it.
Yeah. So, And it's so relaxing to do that.
So relaxing.
Once you start, once you commit to it and say, I'm just going to do the thing that I was told to do, and keep listening to the same recording. And it's a miracle. You know, one of the excuses I hear frequently, inside and outside, is, oh, I can't find that recording. Now I can easily find it. You know, now that I'm committed to doing it.
Oh, that's funny.
You know?
Yeah.
Because now I put it in a special little folder so I can actually go back and read. And I have it on repeat. And, you know, there's all these openings that happen, you know.
Yeah. That reminds me of Sherry talking about we always have what we want. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because in this case, what my projector is saying is, this is what I truly want. And if I truly want this, everything opens up to supporting it.
And that's what occurred to me as you said that was, I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
Because the other way is I know that I already know that.
Right.
And
that's what makes it boring. I already know that.
Right.
Right. I don't want to sit in math class and do my times tables when I'm in 10th grade.
Right.
I already know that.
Yeah.
But now I know.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, and I don't know, I'm like, okay, I don't know what the karma is that I'm looking at now.
Right.
Like, I don't even know what I'm listening to, but I'm listening to it.
Yes.
To change it. And in that process, it's changing.
Yes, that's so true. And I don't even know what quote I brought up to begin with.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever had the experience of listening back to recordings from years ago and hearing yourself talk about something that there's wisdom in it that I didn't even know was there when I was making that recording years ago.
Yeah.
So to realize that on Thursday night we were talking about that, gosh, we're all just divinely guided.
Mm-hmm.
So to even assume that the thing that I brought up to bring to guidance to the email class, that I even know what that is, even though we assume because I'm the one who brought it up.
Right.
But is that even true? I don't know.
Or there's more in it than you even know. Like,
that's right.
There's, or there's none. Or there's, who knows? But.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Rebecca.
Well, the line that struck me was, we always have what we want.
Yeah.
And so I'm continuing to look at the workshop that I brought up a week or two ago about praying for my daughter to get this job. How my lofty prayers of all, may all beings have peace, really devolved into, please let her get a job, please let her get a job.
May all beings have peace, and in particular,
then I bring her so much peace. And me too, by the way.
The whole world will be much better for it, I'm sure.
And so I've been watching that workshop, and it's just been so fascinating. And I kind of got back to the, I kind of got back to the, you know, how mountains are mountains and then they're not and now they aren't. And I sort of got back to the may all beings have peace prayer, realizing that that's what's ultimately
it.
And just enjoying the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed, so I talked to her weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed before the last time I was going to talk to her, I got this tightness right here in the third chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, we're going to have to hear whether she got the second interview or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be so painful if she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, it flagged me. I thought, okay, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And that's what I thought was going on with that whole message. Like, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
That thing I was praying for didn't happen. And then I'm gonna have to be mad at the Virgin Mary and everybody I was praying to who didn't come through. take it out on her.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was just all of this kind of tongue in cheek, but kind of not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this was where the you get what you want line. So I was able to consciously just breathe into that and let that go and remember, no, I'm a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of relationship I want in life.
That's what I truly want.
That's what I truly want. I'm not going to go with this third chakra business
mm-hmm.
of got to get so that she'll be okay, so that I'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that the family will be okay, or whatever. I just am not going to do that. I just know that to be the suffering.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's wrong anyway.
Right. Yeah, you know? It reminds me of that. Is it Confucius? If there is to be peace in nations, there must be peace in them. There must be peace in them. It comes all the way, basically, inner peace, world peace.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And if that's what I truly want, you're right, that's it. What do I truly, truly want? And to realize, that is what I truly want.
Yeah.
You know, that bigger picture, because I don't even know, in the bigger picture, is her having this job the best thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what I truly want is whatever's best for all. I want that, that peace, that,
Yes, and it changed the way. So when I did talk to her, she did get the second interview.
Oh, okay.
She had it, and she had it on Friday, and they're going to make the decision on probably Wednesday or Thursday of this coming week. And so we'll see.
Stay tuned.
And she is the top choice of the one person, but she didn't get a good feeling about the other person. And the thing was that I could be in that conversation with such non-attachment.
That's a miracle.
It was amazing. As a parent, to have non-attachment over whether your struggling daughter gets the job of her dream, like that's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's completely amazing. What a gift to you, obviously, and very likely to her. We don't know, but very likely.
It's easy to project that. Since I didn't bring all that tightness from the third chakra, that no doubt would have come through my voice or and what did you say? And then, all of that.
Maybe if you could you just.
Yeah, and then I would have devolved into the advice
And then you hang up and feel icky. And, there's a doorway for self hate. And this way, it's just, you just get to be there.
Wow, it's such a liberating that all. I mean, that is got its direct roots to the practice of sitting and facing a wall and letting go over and over and over again. It's what we've been talking about, just showing up.
And that encouragement we always get to practice with the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Practice facing a blank white wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then in these much bigger places where that often feels so real that I can't possibly have that relationship with this, it starts to become available to us until we have a moment like that.
Yeah.
That we've been practicing for.
Yeah. It is just so miraculous to feel that dread turn to possibility in that moment of, I'm going to have to hear, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
That's such an extraordinary moment of being there to see at that minute level what's going on, and then to realize that's the only place the choice lies.
Yes.
Until we're there, we don't really have a choice
about
where we go with it.
That's right.
And then you didn't say this, but, sort of in that joking, and then she's got the decision is going to be made, I predict. That also opens up the space to be a human being in a sentient body with human experiences and to almost to get to delight in that.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen and there's disappointment with that, that's a human experience.
Yeah.
I don't need to avoid that.
Yeah.
I don't need to not have that.
Thank you. That is the perfect tie-in to that. And that's why it's so delightful to pray to everything I can think of to pray to. And everybody, it's like that. The presence was delighting in that, too.
Yeah,
it was,
exactly.
Because then there was that holy go of, I got to be the right spiritual whoever, the right. Well, that's just
whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's good.
I'm fine with whatever happens. Well, who's fine enough? So it was, who's
fine?
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be okay with the.
Yeah.
I don't need to protect against that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's permission to really live. Right?
Yeah. That's permission to truly live.
Yeah.
And to you know, put everything into it. You mm-hmm. know, write it everything I can think of.
Yeah.
That, like with that place of, I don't know, but this feels really cool. So
yeah.
if this is the right thing,
exactly,
then.
Exactly. It's
yeah.
been such a fun workshop,
yeah.
no matter what.
Yeah. It's one of those places where it makes us religious, right?
Yeah.
And this is about her and her job.
I know. And then just one of those little kind of funny pieces. I was sharing with her some of my process around this, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make this all about me. And she goes, no, it's a relief, really, to not have to make it all about me. I'll come, go ahead. You know?
So, you can take some of it. That's great.
Yeah, so it's really fun. Thank you.
As usual, so much this morning. I have a couple things, but one of them is about being like a dog with a bone. And, you know, sometimes I believe that conditioning just like moves physical things around to, you know.
I know I don't have hands,
but boy, you know,
yeah.
it's just so amazing. You know, to make a commitment to listen, you know, continuously to a particular recording. And those darn earbuds, where the heck did they go? You know?
Right.
Or the ones that don't fit into the recorder
right.
with
Apple.
Me. And the ones
yeah.
that do fit with the recorder.
Yeah.
Where'd they go? Or, you know, the battery's dead. Or and, you know, I have to just stand and laugh sometimes because
yeah.
it's obviously
yeah.
the what we're up against
yeah.
is so ginormous.
Yeah, we're back to the humility.
The humility, because, yeah. you know, I just have to stand and say, you know what, you're, yeah,
yeah.
but you're not, you know, you're not, but I'm not giving up.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Can I tell you a very quick story?
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm in the car and I need to do a conference call. So I pull over to do a conference call in the parking lot, walking around, get back in the car. I'm on the conference call, get ready to finish the conference call, get ready to drive away. I don't have car keys. I do not have car keys. How do I not have car keys? I'm in the car. I unlocked the car and got in the car. Don't have car keys. Ended up having, looked everywhere, ended up having to get the car keys, the high key, underneath the car. This is just to tell you, this is the humility part of the program. Looked everywhere to get the car keys, had to use the high key. That night, I'm undressing. I had tucked the car key into my sock.
Your sock!
I had tucked it in there, and I had the vaguest memory of being on the phone and just tucking it in there for now. Gone. And it was that experience of just laughing and realizing you are a worthy opponent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And if we don't go to self-hate with it, and if we don't go to any, just get that other card, and then I don't know what's going to happen next. Now we don't have a spare key. Okay, well, let's see what happens, right? And not having any conversation about it.
Yes.
And then once that workshop is over, the key appears in the sock. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's almost, that's yeah. why I thought of it. It's just that place of, is this all being divinely orchestrated just
yeah.
for us to have these experiences?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I so relate.
Extraordinary.
Really.
Anyway, thank you.
Just got to keep laughing.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to look at a little bit was that I'm just getting at a new level the tools that awareness practice provides us to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming through reading this book
mm-hmm.
by my religion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like when you find, oh, I just love it. You know, the truth comes through.
Yeah.
And I loved it when it's, let's see. Yeah, when it comes through, no matter the label that you, uh-huh. you know, in this case it's Christianity,
right.
but you just look at that, oh my gosh,
yeah.
that is that common truth that
yes.
flows through all, has been flowing through, you know, time immemorial.
That every human who has truly been
here
for any length
exactly.
of time reports exactly the same thing.
Exactly the same thing. And it just, you know, this, to think of all the years I spent in a Christian religion and like
Missed it.
Or
you know,
saying
that, or
something. No one ever. Yeah. I mean, you know, there were never the tools.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, it was never like, here we are to end suffering, and these are the tools to do it. It was all about being a good spiritual person, and, you know, trying to follow the rules and da-da-da-da. And so what currently has just been very illuminating for me is that there's the path, and this, I've always wondered when I was growing up, where there's the thing about, you know, the lilies in the field toil. I'm going to mess it up, but they, you know, look how they're clothed, and they do not toil. And it's like, what the heck does that mean? You know, I'm 18, I've got to get a job. You know? You know? And
I mean, I guess
if
I just
got
the field.
Right. If I just, you know, I'm sorry, but they don't appreciate that I'm a lily. They want me to pay the rent. You know? So, oh, gosh. So what I'm seeing and reading this is that, oh, man, this is just, it's what we talk about in lyrics. You know, what the guide is, you know, it's not about having a personal life.
Yes. Yeah.
If you can give up that push
to
have a personal life,
and
it's not, and I, for the first time I saw it, it's not about going out to get a job that's going to pay you X number of dollars so you can get the amass the things that we think we need to survive. It's looking for how can I do good. And putting all your energy into that and not worrying about what the, if there's a dollar attached to it, but knowing that you're going to be provided for.
And the end, that action
of doing the good and not to worry about what the dollars are going to come from. And it was like just such, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And seeing that, and this is what I want to look at a little bit, and seeing that even in a monastic life, it's possible to have that same kind of mindset of, you know, I've got a job to get the dollars, even though I don't get dollars, but rather, it's the same process. And, you know, I can get into that 9-to-5 headset. And so just looking at that, because I spent, you know, yesterday I did a task, and I spent a little bit longer doing it than, you know, I, like, went on, for, you know, but it felt like something I was doing out of love, and it just felt so good to be, to be in that place of love, and so it's just looking at that, doing versus being, and not, so what's the difference of getting into the place of, like, you know, that doing versus being? That's what we've, a lot of what we've been, you know, looking at this morning.
It's what I hear and what you're saying is that place where, it's so difficult to really put the words to it, but it's that place where, you know, so in a situation like that, where you're doing a task, it can come, it can look exactly the same, right? But it can come from a place of, okay, I need to get this done, and then ultimately I think what the connection I hear you making is that, because it's going to be about me in some way, right?
Yeah.
It's back to that personal life. I'm going to have a personal life. It's going to mean something about me, or I'm going to feel a certain way, or I'm going to have something about it. It's going to be something about me. But from that other place, where it's just a being, it's as if there's no actor. It's like life is living through us.
Yeah.
And yes, all kinds of things get done.
Yeah.
But it's not from that doing place that they get done.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know, it's very exciting, and I can't even, I don't know what is so exciting about it, but it's getting out of the way and letting life animate. That's what's so exciting about it.
And it's so exciting to realize that it's completely counterintuitive to what we're told in conditioned mind. Then what am I going to get?
Everything.
And in this other place, that's the irony of it.
Yeah.
That when we're all trying to get this thing,
yeah.
get the money, and get the money,
yeah.
we get nothing.
Yeah.
We get nothing.
Yeah. That's what's so exciting. I mean, all the year, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, but I got to have a nest egg. You know,
right.
you just, it's stupid not to. You know?
Yeah.
You got to have insurance. It's
right.
stupid not to.
Right.
You know, and to just like, wow, turn that all on its head and look at that.
Yeah.
Maybe we've been fed a pack of lies, you know, and never stop to question it.
Yeah.
And just the freedom and the thrilling nature of just, okay, letting life animate you
yeah.
in this moment by moment by moment with no, this is, I'm going to go back to it, but with no thought of tomorrow.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
which
exactly.
Which
is the place that will get us stuck.
It will just
it
the place
will
get us stuck. Yeah.
And okay. Yeah, I'll be here. But as soon as I have the nest egg and the
yeah.
and the apples
right.
and then I'll be here.
Yeah. Exactly. Then I can afford to just
right. Well, the thing is, you know, we're not if we're not willing to be here, then we're not going to get what we get here.
Yeah.
If we're back, then we get what we want.
Yeah.
If what you want is the pursuit of the nest egg and all that,
yeah.
then that's fine. That's what you're going to have.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that's different than being here.
Yeah.
Which doesn't say anything about the content of what might be in our lives. Right? I think that's one of the,
yeah.
the big misunderstandings that is being pointed at in my religion. Oh my God, well then I have to, you know, go to a monastery and blah,
right.
blah, blah. But it's
right.
a process. It's not
it's a process. It's not a content. And who... Yeah, and then, yeah, and have things, and it opens the possibility to have things enter that we would have never have allowed to enter.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's the hands
yeah.
tightly
yeah,
closed.
Yeah, anything when we have to.
Yeah, versus the hands open or the...
Yes.
Anyway, it's very fun.
Very fun. It's delightful.
Yeah.
Penny.
I had this really interesting experience yesterday. So my an email class, and really all year long, what I've been looking at is this whole being involved in political activity from a place of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little group of people that we hike with a lot. And so yesterday there was a hike planned. And it turned out only two of us could go, so I went with this woman. And we got to talking about our backgrounds and stuff like that. Anyway, it evolved into where she stands politically,
mm-hmm.
and which is, you know, diametrically in a different direction from where I am. And so she started talking quite vigorously about, you know, this is what's going on, and this is what I see, and this is what and and so what was so interesting was to just be there hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was, and there were a couple places where she made comments that I felt were really deeply inaccurate about people coming from my perspective, and so I would say, well, that's actually not my experience, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, then she would go on, and so anyway, when she kind of wound down, I said, you know, what's really fascinating is if you would take the terms left wing and right wing and switch them, I could say the exact same words you just said.
Mm.
And yeah, that was a for both of us. And it really has to do with the sense of, you know, where is the conspiracy and what is the collusion, and, you know. And, you know.
There is a conspiracy.
Right. You know, is it being uncovered, or is it being created?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but and so, there are a number of things that are just really interesting about that. One is that we're both able, I think, to see that that simply what happens is people look through different lenses and see different worlds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And truly do.
Truly do.
As much as I look through this lens, it is duh. How can you not see this thing? And how can you be that same person standing over there looking through that lens is looking back at me in the same way?
Yeah. And I remember the first time I ever realized that was when after my father retired, and he became sort of increasingly conservative, and I was becoming increasingly liberal, and we would get into these arguments where, you know, his lips would turn white, I remember. and I remember waking up and going, literally thinking, when we look out at the world, we see different worlds. Mm-hmm. And it really diffused the situation, because there was no point in arguing.
Right.
But so, there's a lot in terms of what I saw in that conversation yesterday. First thing was that we were able to have it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said at the end, she said, you know, almost everyone I know doesn't share my perspective. And she said, you know, it's really lonely. Mm-hmm. And what she's really saying is, with friends, with good friends, I'm really lonely. And what I was thinking, what arose for me that I didn't say at the time, but has risen since, is I think we live in a culture that is where people are really lonely.
Yes.
Really lonely. Yes. And I project that's part of why we've gone on to share ideas in a sort of almost a tribal way.
Because
it finally gives us a place where we feel not so lonely.
Yes.
But that when she said that, I just put it in such a different context in terms of what's at stake here? Mm. What's going on here? With the kind of divisions that we're experiencing, how visceral they are, how first chakra they are, I think.
Yes, yes.
And I felt for her, and I know that feeling because I have, in this conservative county, I often have that feeling.
That lonely feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks ago, I went to a big march, you know, of women's marching. And the feeling you have is, oh, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the...
Yeah.
And so that it felt like that comment was so helpful because it really took it back to basics.
Yes, yeah.
Another thing that was really helpful, in the class I'm working with this, and one of the things Sherry said to me was, well, take it in small steps. Mm-hmm. Take this kind of exploration of how to be in this in small steps. And what just occurred to me, and this is as I'm listening today, is she provided me with a small step because she didn't say, you people. She said, she was simply describing what she sees, like in the news and out there, and how she sees things. There was no, she wasn't aiming at me.
Yes.
So I didn't get into, I have to defend myself.
Uh-huh.
I was able just to hear what she was saying,
uh-huh.
and then to say, well, my perspective is this.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't attacking her either. I thought, she gave me this small life.
Gave a small step through that interaction.
Through that interaction.
Because she was just talking about her experience.
And if she had come on, you know, if she come on in an attack way, I probably would have, it would have been so much easier to move to, and the whole thing would have not been what it was.
Yeah.
And then the other...
It sounds like it introduced an alternative to you. Another way to be with it, a way to be in peace.
That's right. She gave me the opportunity to be in peace, because nothing had to get aroused in me. To defend me.
Uh-huh, to defend me, exactly.
Right.
Back to the there's no personal life.
That's right.
Yeah.
And back to, ultimately, it's about identity.
Yeah.
These arguments.
Yeah,
happen.
That's a huge thing to see.
Yeah, and then we had a lovely conversation the rest of the time about all kinds of things, because she's a very interesting person. We had a wide ranging. And one of the things she said was, you know, the fact that we can't talk about these things really limits our world when we're together.
Right.
It really tightens them up.
Right. We have to be careful or not to, you know, basically, we're trying not to set ego off.
Yeah. Either ours or theirs.
Exactly. Both of us are trying not to set ego off internally, externally. But yeah, there's how many players are there? There's a wall of mirrors that just goes on and on.
And then afterwards, I went, interestingly, to an opening event for a guy who's running for supervisor, county supervisor, over on that side of the county. And so we were there. So she showed me where it was. I went in and... So all the people there are coming from the same perspective I'm coming from. And so I mentioned that we had this really great conversation and how I really appreciated it. And so one of the women said, well, so you sort of found common ground. And I said, no.
Not really.
But I said the common ground was that we heard each other.
Yeah, the common ground was the process.
The common ground was right, that we were really to listen and hear each other. And I think we both came away feeling much closer. And so that's the common ground. You know, and the common ground is that we were lonely.
Mm-hmm.
The common ground is not being lonely.
Exactly. You know, with that person again, I think, no, this is in Be the Person You Want to Find, I think. That image of, you know, so there we are arguing, right, with the issue between us. And to realize that even, maybe especially with someone on the quote polar opposite end from me, we're arguing from the same place. We want the same thing. Mm-hmm. It seems like we don't, because I want this person and you want that person, and they're diametrically opposed. Mm-hmm. But what we both want is to feel included, to not feel lonely, to feel connected, to feel...
Yeah.
So, gosh, I mean, talk about a definition of peace in the political world, is to move that issue, that cushion, that is often the only use for it, out there, and we're all on the same side. Mm-hmm. We all want the same thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's really conditioned mind that's the adversary, right. You know, that, I mean, that's the way we would talk about it, and as Sequoia said, every tradition has some way to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But that's ultimately, all of us want the same thing mm-hmm. at base.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a wonderful experience, and it felt like, you know, life provided, as it always does. You know, so this is your assignment, Penny. Oh, okay. here's your instructor. And she's doing it just the way that Sherry said she should do it. In order for you to have a small step.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Mm-hmm. I just noticed, like usual, whatever I think I'm going to say, it just keeps changing. And I'm
wait, that.
And I think the difference is, I'm in practice, is I'm willing to let go of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that image just now. I just love that image of let go of. No, but I already rehearsed this.
Right, the position.
Yeah. As opposed to being in the unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just feeling that experience from that last conversation about getting on the same side,
mm-hmm.
looking at ego.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's what we're always doing in group.
Yeah.
That's been my experience the whole time in being in here, and it's really highlighted how much ego's been talking to ego, and I'm,
mm-hmm.
there's been somebody kind of
mm-hmm.
subject it to that.
Yeah.
Bounced
around by, yeah, not even really getting to participate in it. Right? Not at all a part of it, just.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it feels like that to me, but then you take
right.
that step back and you're like, wait, I'm not saying that. Yeah. So, so just what's been going on in the group is, well, what I want to look at is this process that's been given to me to look at. You know, when we're doing it, looking at a focus of process as our focus, that there's a difference between seeing the conditioned process and seeing through.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been asked to keep looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just had, I don't really quite know, I'm not sure about the seeing through, but... what I just saw in the group was this, or the agenda, and then how it talking to me. What you need to do is weave in what's been going on with you for help, because, I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, you've been out a long time, and there's not a lot of people who live here full time, and you need to offer some kind of explanation. So if you could just leave that in, and then exactly. And I think seeing that a little bit, and like, oh gosh, it's not, there isn't a requirement for me to listen to that or to say anything that it's trying to get me to do. And then there's just the physical stuff going on. It's like, yeah, there's some heaviness in the lungs and some tingling on the arms. And it's actually completely not a problem until there's a conversation about it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
meeting and
yep,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And I think so. Just so to me, the seeing the conditioned process was, why don't you just talk about what's going on for you right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So kind of that choice point that we were looking at with Rebecca. That when we realize what's going on, you know, it's the invisible ammunition we were looking at earlier, when we see it there, that gives us the window for something else to
just
be here, as Cameron pointed out.
Exactly. Yeah, that comment about the invisible ammunition. I keep imagining a process map. You know, some folks have done, we put the little stickies up.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been to retreat, someone's helping you with that, or you've done it in another case, you'll be talking along, and then they'll say, oh, and is that on the map?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize, like, you might say, well, and, you know, that's kind of that's all I see. I mean, I guess I'll just keep trying to see if I see more.
I always get stuck in this place. I'm just not able to see.
And then the facilitator says, oh, that's not all that's 50, that's all I'm at. And you just don't realize.
Yeah, it's all part of it.
It's all part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I think that's been happening a lot, where ego's tracking ego. Mm-hmm. And I don't realize. Because it's practice language, I see what ego's doing until someone highlights, like, you know, get the end of all this stuff and say, you know, the truth is, I doesn't know anything. Yeah, well, you already knew that, so why did you have to listen to the conversation for however long to, you know, like that
was... That's the ammunition. You practice to...
Yeah, like that was sort of a feigning in a way. Uh-huh. I don't know. Yeah. After giving all kinds of attention to the knowing... And, there's just been a lot of, I guess, by the way it says, you know, we're here to end suffering. Yeah. And that means end suffering. Yeah. I was listening to this interview Sherry had with some person who didn't know a lot about what we do, and Sherry was explaining the tenets of Zen Buddhism, and the person was sort of like rephrasing it or saying it back, and she said, and, you know, the end goal is to reduce suffering. And Sherry's like, well, no, end suffering. And I was like, that goes on all the time for me. Uh-huh. You know, even at the beginning of this, whatever's going on with the body, it was like, yeah, I just need to sleep for a couple hours and then, you know, come right back to the kickoff on Sunday morning and I'm good.
Yep.
You know, I don't, and then, no, you really need to, okay, that's not working, you really need to rest. Well, but I just need to check this thing. God, I need to make sure it's got followed up with on my phone.
It's just one thing.
I mean, and if somebody doesn't follow up on it, then it's just one thing. And I just need to go down. I forgot this thing in my hermitage. I'm just going to walk down, not communicating about any of that. And it's just like, you know, mostly I think when I've gotten sick in my life, it's like basically how can I entertain ego while the body maybe gets itself back together?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I mean, I think this is what we're always looking at. Who's in charge?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's calling the shots?
Exactly. And what I'm saying is it's calling a lot of the shots.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's been, I guess, one benefit of the longevity of the illness and not knowing what that's going on. Is
it's that place where the keys aren't going to show up until we've completely surrendered, right?
It feels like that.
And like, gosh, to be able to have that place, God, of when it does go on and on, you know, ridiculously past when we think this thing should have been solved, it's like we have no choice but to just go, all right, thank you.
That's exactly.
I have no idea.
That was the breakthrough yesterday. I mean, I've had that several times.
Yeah, sure.
Another.
No, this is the breakthrough.
Yeah, no, you just felt like another. I mean, because there was still, I guess it happens all the time, that bargaining.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of like, well, I don't really have to give up this.
Yeah.
I mean, I can still do this, and I can still do this, and well, I mean, that's not that big of a deal. I don't need to communicate about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just seems so reasonable. And now it's like,
I'm yours, Larry.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, and I don't know about this, and I'd like to do this.
Yeah.
This may seem ridiculous to ask, but
because,
and that's what dropped in yesterday for me when it was given. I think kind of to me that these check-ins I'm doing about my health or we actually don't need to check in about our health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's essentially just going to conditioning. Are you better now? Are you better now? Well, what does that mean?
50%
now, 40%. Well, but
that's still
that. I'm in the bathroom at least for 2 hours. And so, I mean, that doesn't really seem right. So, what dropped? So I was like, okay. I mean, it was sort of like, well, how do you check? Here I am, in seeing, I think, seeing through the process, well, how do you check, how do you talk about, give a health report without checking in how you're doing with your health? So the ego, like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And so just the last thing was, is you actually don't need to do that. Life will just give you a direct experience. And what dropped in is, you'll get better when you start choosing life over ego. So that's what I'm going for. And that's been the guide the last, I don't know, 12 hours, and it's been super helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, and I would project that as such an exclusive place to practice, right? To have that piece of information and then to surrender to the process.
Yeah.
And not have, all the way back to what you started us with, not have the eye lured in to take care of doing that.
Yeah.
Which is what, you know, to just know, okay, and it doesn't mean anything about anything, mm-hmm. how whatever that process is and however long that process takes, and, you know, it's truly all a gift.
It really is. And just one really fun thing I saw a couple times recently is it'll be like, here's a back door.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm not taking that.
I don't want the back door.
I'm not going.
And you know, stuff that's so huge to see, that we don't take that back door. Yeah. That takes me back to the conversation with Renee. Mm-hmm. To just make recordings about, you know, who I am. I'm someone who gets a piece of guidance and then watches myself do it and then get talked out of it. See at the subtle level that I got talked out of it. Come back to it. Keep practicing right through ego's boredom, ego's da-da-da-da-da. And I would only imagine that there's a version of that happening for you right now in spades. And I'm someone who doesn't choose that back there. I'm someone who comes back to it. Is it always great and peachy and fun and do I love it all? And no, it's terrible for ego. But I stay and I keep doing it.
And it feels amazing for the human. I can feel the calibration. It's like, this is where this is what I wanted my whole life.
This is what I wanted my whole life. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.